From the Senate Committee on Rules for April 24th, 2009. Members of the committee and those in the audience, we will take a number of these items out of order. We are going to go to the three SCRs first, SCR 12, SCR 13, SCR 14. I open a public hearing on all three SCRs. Could the committee administrator give a brief report?
Thank you, members. SCR 12 honors the life of Woodburn Police Chief Thomas Paul Tennant. SCR 13 offers support and encouragement to Woodburn Chief of Police Scott Douglas Russell. And SCR 14 honors the life of Senior Trooper William Robert Hakeem.
Okay. Senators Courtney and Carter, would you please come forward, and the superintendent? Please proceed at whatever order you have predetermined, and as you all know, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm only speaking out first because I'm in committee and had to leave a vote. And so Ways and Means Committee is done. So if the two gentlemen on my right and left don't mind, I would thank you. Thank you, sir. My name is Margaret Carter, and I serve as Senator from District 22, North Northeast Portland. I came to the legislature and was elected in 1984, sworn in 1985, and the first thing that I saw was that I started my work looking at the state police, because I felt that of all police patrols or organizations in this state, the one that really doesn't have a real constituency who could speak up for them was the state legislature, as to why my involvement and my investment in state police has been what it is now as it was then, when one of our earlier trooper, Mr. Claude Felter, was innocently lost his life at the hand of a deranged person. I have served almost 25 years as a member of this assembly, and each day I've observed the service and the dedication of the Oregon State Police. The men and women who wear the badge and the uniform, time after time, I witness the service of our officers side by side with their colleagues, with other peace officers and our citizens. Today, I join in honoring Senior Trooper William R. Hakeem, a hero, a father, a husband, a number one dad. On December the 12th, 2008, Senior Trooper Hakeem gave his life in service to the state of Oregon, to the community, for the citizens of Oregon. I quite often reflect biblically in my statement, and the one that I thought about so much in looking at his life was John 15 and 13, and that is that greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for others. And that's truly what Bill Hakeem did. He was an extraordinary man. He was schooled in Europe, Mexico, and the United States. He attended St. John's College in New Mexico, a college founded in 1696, and a curriculum based on the great books of the Western and Eastern civilizations, including the works of Aristotle, Shakespeare, Descartes, Einstein, and ancient Greek. So he was a man of a lot of wisdom, even in terms of his studies. He completed his education at the University of Texas as a young man. He mastered French, Italian, and Spanish. He even met Pablo Picasso. He traveled this planet we call Earth via the Persian Gulf, the Far East, Europe, and the ocean floor of the Antarctica. He served our nation for 20 years in the United States Navy. That was drawn dearer to my heart because all of my brothers are Navy men, and one of my brothers were lost in the Navy as well at 22. So I'm just really drawn to this man in many ways. He loved his wife, Terry, his daughter, Paige, and his son, Victor. But I understand that he even had a little more love to give, and that was to his motorcycle and a 1966 cherry red Ford Mustang, fondly known as the Money Pit. As co-chair Ways and Means, I know the concept of the Money Pit, so I can only tell you that must be some Mustang. He coached youth soccer. He built furniture. He was master of the barbecue. He was an outdoorsman. Bill is remembered as a loving husband, a dad, brother, friend, mentor, and colleague. He is truly a hero, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 today before you is to honor him, to convey our deep respect to his family, to his friends, to his colleagues, And on behalf of the Senate and the Oregon House of Representatives, I would appreciate your support in passing these resolutions, not only for Mr. Hakeem, but for all of our servicemen who died and who were injured in this process. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Who will proceed next? Senator Courtney?
Let me go.
You can go, sir.
Co-chair Devlin and Vice Chair Ferrioli and Senator Metzger, Senator Burdick, and Committee Administrator Aaron Seeler. My name is Peter Courtney, and I live at 2925 Island View Drive North here in Salem. I'm a state senator from District 11. Thomas Paul Tennant was born in Prineville on February 20th, 1957. He was the oldest of four children. He would grow up in Salem, and while attending high school, he became a member and started what is known as the Salem Police Department Cadet Program. He would graduate from Sprague High School in 1975. He would go on to receive an associate's degree from Chemeca Community College and then a bachelor's degree in social science from Oregon College Education, which today is called Western Oregon University. Upon his graduation from Western, he pursued a career in law enforcement and became a police officer for the city of Hubbard and the city of Salem before joining the Woodburn Police Department. Sergeant Tennant attended and graduated from the FBI National Academy in December 1993, and he was promoted to captain in November of 2004. He was proud to be part of the Woodburn Police Department and fiercely loyal to his officers and the other members of the department. He had a strong desire to teach others and impart knowledge to younger officers. He was always willing to fill a need at the department, no matter what it entailed. He was very devoted to his family, his wife Mary, and their three children, Becky, age 24, and Jenny, 22, and Scott, 18, who is a senior at Blanchette Catholic School here in Salem. Tom took on every opportunity to enjoy and support that family. He was also a member of various community service organizations, volunteered his time on community events and fundraisers held by the Kiwanis, the American Cancer Society, and the city of Woodburn. He loved the outdoors, enjoyed hunting, shooting, fishing, camping, hiking, boating, and riding his ATV. He had friends. He had very, very many friends. He had a way of making everyone in life feel special. There were plenty of bear hugs to go around. 4 months ago, on a Friday night in December, while investigating a suspicious device at the Woodburn West Coast Bank, Captain Tom Tennant was killed by an intentional bomb blast. In addition to his wife and children, Tom is survived by his mother, Florence Tennant, brothers Bill and David Tennant, and sister Joanne Mix, all of Salem. He will be profoundly missed by all who knew and loved him. Please join me in honoring Captain Tennant's memory and the memory of the other officers affected by this terrible tragedy by supporting SCRs 12, 13, and 14. That is my official statement, and it's in writing, and it should be before you. I do also want to add that I attended both memorial services out at the Salem Fairgrounds. And while for me they were extremely difficult, I will say that the law enforcement community, when they say goodbye to one of their fallen heroes, it is a remarkable, remarkable moment and experience. Law enforcement officials come from all over, not only Oregon, but many parts of the country, in an extraordinary, moving, moving moment. And I can think of no better way to say goodbye as they did that day. And so I really do thank you, members of this committee, for being willing to consider these resolutions and also allowing me the opportunity to come here today and testify.
Superintendent?
Chair Devlin, members of the committee. For the record, Tim McLean, representing the Oregon State Police. First, from the law enforcement community, a thank you to Senator Carter, Senate President Courtney, and all Senate members who sponsored these resolutions. Every day, members of the public safety community put their lives on the line to prevent harm and protect people. It's what we sign up for. It's what we do because we are driven by a desire to serve. Because members of the public safety community are called upon to serve in this unique role, we easily bond. We are family. Chief Scott Russell is a member of the public safety family in Oregon and indeed the entire country. Though Scott works for a different agency, he is a brother to every member of the Oregon State Police. And as a representative of the State Police and a member of the Chief's Association, I'm honored to be here today to support the passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution 13. Some may ask why Chief Russell was present that day, but his presence at that tragic event was no surprise to me. See, Chief Russell is a true leader. He was not there that day to take charge. Woodburn Police Department is full of leaders. One is with us today. And Chief Russell trusts his people completely. The Chief and Captain Tennant stopped by that day to check on the troops and to see if they could lend a hand. So on December 12, 2008, Chief Russell just did his job like any other day. But on this particular day, he became the victim of a criminal act. On that day, his life was changed forever. The lives of his family, those who love him, and those who work with him were also changed forever. He was critically injured in the line of duty. He spent weeks fighting for his life, and he has spent months since in a slow and awful, painful period of recovery. On December 12, 2008, Oregon lost two dedicated officers. Luckily, Chief Russell was spared, and we are thankful for that. In gratitude for Chief Russell's long career of service, in celebration of his life well lived, and with sincere wishes for his physical and emotional recovery, and most of all, for the day he comes home, I urge your approval of Senate Concurrent Resolution 13. Thank you.
Any questions? Yes, Senator Metzger.
Just a comment. Thank you for all for your testimony, and I know everyone on this committee is sponsoring this resolution, but I really want to particularly thank the chief sponsors, Senator Carter and Senator Courtney, for your leadership in bringing this forward. It's totally right and fitting that we do this, and thank you for your leadership on this.
Any additional questions or comments? Thank you all for coming here today.
Okay.
Mayor Figley and Chief Barker, if you would come forward. Mayor, if you could start, and then when Chief Barker starts, I will have him also introduce the DVD that's going to be shown to the committee.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and express our support for Senate Concurrent Resolutions 12, 13, and 14. It was very moving to me to read both the text of the resolutions and to see the names of 30 senators and all of the House members representing portions of Marion County. That level of support from the legislature means a great deal to our police department, to our City of Woodburn family, and indeed to our overall community. I am here first to say thank you, but second to give you a little more information about two individuals you are honoring who are longtime friends of mine. Tom Tennant and his wife Mary are people I have known for 30 years. Scott Russell is someone I have known since he began as a patrolman with the Woodburn Police Department 20 years ago. In fact, had he been able to be there, I would have given him his 20-year certificate this past Wednesday at an employee recognition lunch. Tom Tennant could be quickly and neatly described as a cop's cop and a man's man, and both of those statements would be accurate, but they would so miss the essential part of Tom Tennant. When I think of Tom, I think of the perfect dad and the perfect big brother. This was a dad who was involved in his children's life from the day they came to be until the day he died. He was there when they needed him, but he was also there just when they wanted him. He did not think of fatherhood as simply an obligation. He was involved in his children's lives, in the joys and sorrows and the process of growing up on a daily basis. He had enough love in his heart to also be a brother, not only to his own brothers and sisters, but to a lot of kids in the community. He was a big brother, a coach, a Santa, a delivery man of Christmas presents, someone who gave his all, really believed in service to his community. He and his wife Mary shared those values and gave so much back, not only on their jobs with the City of Woodburn, but all around the community. And finally, Tom Tennant was the real deal. There was no pretense. There was nothing phony. He hunted. He fished. He enjoyed life. He loved his friends and his family. And what you saw was what you get. And what you got was a very wonderful person. When I talk about Scott Russell, I would say when I heard the news of his injury, I felt as if someone had tried to kill my own brother. He is someone I think that highly of. There are very few people of my acquaintance that I would describe as brilliant. I know lots of smart people, but Scott is on my short list of brilliant. He is a person of enormous intelligence, wide-ranging interests. He takes police work to the highest possible level. How do you make people good people? How do you anticipate? How do you think ahead? How do you do things differently and better? And how do you keep cops good people? How do you make youngsters good people? He also has a deep and abiding Christian faith that has sustained him through his struggle for survival and recovery. And his faith is something that has the best kind of expression. He does believe in living as Jesus would live and do what Jesus would do in service to a community. His generosity of spirit, his openness of mind are a testament to his faith and to the caliber of person that he is. We are grateful that he has come so far on the road to recovery, and we are, of course, waiting for the day when we can welcome him home and welcome him back to the job. And finally, I am so sorry I did not have the opportunity to personally know Bill Hakeem, because I know I would have liked him very much. I can say that the bomb was originally located on a busy state highway in the center of a senior retirement neighborhood. Had Bill not been on the scene and had that bomb detonated where it was originally located, the tragedy would have been incalculable. I cannot express my gratitude for what Bill did that day for our community. And in so saying, I would like to conclude my testimony with, again, expressing my support for all three of these resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Figley. Chief Barker. Mayor Figley, if you'd like to stay for a moment, I know. Chief Barker.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kent Barker. I'm the Chief of Police for Tualatin Police Department. I'm the past president of Oregon Association Chiefs of Police, and I'm here today representing the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. As mentioned before, Friday, December 12th was a special day, but Friday, December 12th was just a regular day for me. And my normal Fridays is I try to leave them open. I try not to schedule any meetings or anything so that I can take time to get work done or to meet with some of my peers. Friday, December 12th, I was having lunch with one of my best friends down in Woodburn, and his name was Chief Scott Russell. During our lunch, he was telling me about the bomb threats they had at one of the first banks. So as we were eating lunch, he was telling me about the bomb tech and some of his officers who were already at the first bank dealing with that issue. He had already been by the bank, checked on the folks there from work, and it just seemed like it was just an ordinary day, the normal bomb threat that we get occasionally this, you know, that time of the year. And when we finished lunch that afternoon, he said, well, I better go check on the guys because now they're out at another bank, and I'm just going to go check to make sure they're okay. And, you know, my parting comments to him was, okay, well, just be safe, Scott, and I'll see you later on. Later that evening, I was attending a Rotary function in downtown Portland, and one of our Rotary members came up to me and said, hey, Chief, did you hear about the incident in Woodburn? I said, no, what? And she said, well, a couple officers were killed. I said, you got to be kidding. I just had lunch with the chief. It was just surreal. It just couldn't have happened. And so I wanted to try to get a hold of Scott right away to find out, you know, if it was some of his officers, and couldn't get a hold of anybody. And finally somebody called me and said that that they had lost a state trooper, they had lost their captain, and that the chief was in critical condition at OHSU. So being downtown Portland, I responded directly to the hospital to see Scott and see the family there. And what I saw was, one, an overwhelming response, again, from the law enforcement community, not just dealing with the tragic event in Woodburn, but lending support at the hospital. And from December 12th up until to this date, what I have seen from the law enforcement community has been incredible. As far as agencies from throughout the state, they came to help offer patrol support so that the Woodburn officers and personnel could deal with this tragic event. At the hospital itself, law enforcement agencies from all over the state offered officers to come and act as security guards for Chief Russell, even to the point that every time he went in the operating room, an officer went and stood outside the operating room to show respect for Chief Russell. During the funeral services, we had, again, officers from throughout the state come and offer patrol services for the city of Woodburn so that every member of the Woodburn Police Department could attend the funeral services for their own captain and for Senior Trooper Bill Hakeem. The investigation of this criminal act involved hundreds of investigators from throughout the state, the counties, federal agencies. It was just overwhelming, the response, and that just goes to show the support from the law enforcement community. On April 9th, or the week of April 9th, we had our Oregon Association Chiefs of Police annual event, and we have an award ceremony. And during the award ceremony, one of the things that our association did is we have a Medal of Honor that we can give out to members of Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. And, of course, Senior Trooper Hakeem is not a member of Oregon Association Chiefs of Police, with him being a state trooper. But an overwhelming response was to elect him and have him as an honorary member of our association so that, to follow up with that, we could give a Medal of Honor to Senior Trooper Bill Hakeem, to Captain Thomas Tennant, and to Chief Scott Russell, who was critically injured in this event. What I'd like to show you right now, if I can take the time, please, just show you a quick two-minute video. It was a video that was played at the Chiefs Conference on April 9th.
That would be fine.
So as I stated, Friday, December 12th started out as a regular day for me, just like today's a Friday and it started out as a regular day for you. I'm just asking that you make this day a special day and honor these three gentlemen by passing Senate concurrent resolutions 12, 13, and 14. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Barker. Any questions for Mayor Figley or Chief Barker? Thank you both for coming here today. We will next go to, I believe it is Ruby Wolfer and Aaron Taylor. Uh,
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Farron Taylor, and I'm the manager of the West Branch of West Coast Bank in Woodburn, and I was one of five people in the building on the night of December 12th, 2008 at the bank when the bomb exploded, and by the grace of God, I was able to walk away unharmed completely. I knew Officer Tennant and Bill Hakim for less than an hour, but that was long enough to see their kindness and their courage and their bravery. I attended their memorial services and forever will remember these two gentlemen, along with Chief Russell, who I visited at OHSU multiple times while he was recovering. I salute these three gentlemen and am very much in favor of the passage of these three resolutions. Thank you very much.
I'm Ruby Wolfer. I'm the branch manager of the East Branch of West Coast Bank in Woodburn. I reside in Woodburn. I have been a community member there for 35 plus years. And never have I been so proud as to what the response of our community has been during this incident. We have seen bravery. We have seen dedication, not only by our local police department, but by the state troopers. And I also would like to add my vote to the, or my support of these measures. Thank you.
Yeah. Any questions? Thank you both very much for coming here today. Captain Jason Alexander.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Jason Alexander, and I'm the acting captain for the Woodburn Police Department. And I'm here to support these resolutions. And there's not much more I can say to mirror or echo what everybody else has said, other than I was there that day as well, and the way that these men responded saved many lives, and standing alongside them for the last 11 years has been an honor and pleasure, and I want to show my support for these resolutions as well. Thank you.
Any questions for the captain? Seeing none, thank you very much. I will close the public hearing on SCR 12, SCR 13, and SCR 14. I will open a work session on SCR 12. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move the adoption of SCR 12, and I would note for the record that in moving this bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation, it should be noted that the Senate concurrent resolution is the highest honor that the Senate can pay to a civilian, and that each and every member of the Oregon State Senate has signed on to this Senate concurrent resolution as a primary sponsor.
Any additional discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Senator Metzger, or I'm sorry, Senator Farioli, a motion on SCR 13.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate concurrent resolution 13 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I also will note for the record that this is the highest honor that the Senate can pay to a civilian or to a member of the public, and that each and every member of the Senate has become a primary sponsor of this legislation.
Okay. It's been moved SCR 13 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Senator Farioli, a motion on SCR 14.
Mr. Chairman, I move SCR 14 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I'll note again for the record that this is the highest honor that the Senate can pay any Oregon citizen, uniformed or not, and that each and every member of the Senate has signed on as a primary sponsor.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? Motion passes. Colleagues, I will confer with the chief sponsors to determine the carriers on the floor. We will also try to coordinate the day that these memorials are considered, or these resolutions are considered on the floor, so that friends, relatives, and co-workers are able to be there on that day.
I would also like to say for the record that there are very unfortunate circumstances in which you have to do resolutions like this, but it is an accepted reality of the profession in public safety, whether it's in law enforcement or firefighters, and in some cases even in those public safety employees that work in our facilities that no one actually seems to know of, the many correctional facilities we have. I think a debt of gratitude are owed to these two fallen law enforcement officials and of course, to the chief, who we all wish us for a recovery for. And it's a reality that we know that it's an unfortunate reality, but I think that each law enforcement officer accepts and their families live with on a daily basis. So we will keep people informed of when these will be considered on the Senate floor. Thank you very much. Committee members, we will just take about 30 seconds to allow people to leave the room and to get back to our normal. Can we get...
They just want to take Senator Monroe.
Okay.
And then Jack Kaufman and George are both here, and maybe could bring it off.
Okay. Need some help.
It's good. So, boy.
Okay. Okay, I will open up a public hearing on SJR 16. Jack Isselman, will you please come forward? And George Sohaeus, will you please come forward? And will the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, members. SJR 16, we do have a replacement amendment, the -2 amendment. It replaces the measure and expresses legislative support for efforts of the Ecumenical Patriarchate to promote the peaceful coexistence of Christians and Muslims in the Republic of Turkey.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, Jack Isselman of Tonkin Torp. I'm pleased to appear before you today on behalf of the Greek community of Oregon. I am joined by the past president of the Greek community, George Sohaeus. He is also an archon in the Greek Orthodox Church in America, which is the lay leadership of the church throughout the world. And I just learned this morning, Senator Devlin, he is a constituent of yours, coming from Lake Oswego. You should have before you a map, a colored map of the United States. Our appearance before you today is pursuant to a resolutions project that the church has undertaken nationwide. And the resolution before you today in SJR 16 has been adopted in 22 states and is currently pending in 9 others beside our own. I'd also like to extend a brief word of thanks to Senator Girard, who allowed us to use his resolution as a vehicle for this measure today. With that, Chair Devlin, I can turn it over to one of the other panelists here.
By way of practice, we will go to Senator Monroe. Senator Monroe, good morning.
Good morning. Being an old history teacher, I've got to give you a little bit of history. Emperor Constantine, the founder of Constantinople, the founder of the really the Orthodox Church in the 300s, in the 4th century AD, and then that area remained under Christian control until 1453, when the Islam conquered Constantinople, and it became Istanbul, which it still is today. And Turkey is an ally of the United States, a member of NATO, but there are concerns about how they treat now what is a religious minority, and that is the Orthodox Church and Orthodox Christians in Turkey. And this resolution, I think, in a non-confrontational way, simply asks the country of Turkey to treat Orthodox Christians in a more equal and fair way, and to not require that the head of the Orthodox Church has to be a Turkish citizen. And the other half of Christianity, of course, was the Roman Church. And you know that the Roman Church is headed by a pope. The pope does not have to be an Italian. And requiring, as they currently are trying to do, requiring the head of the Orthodox Church to be a citizen of Turkey would be like trying to require the pope to always be from Italy. It's simply not fair. So what we're doing is speaking out for freedom of religion, which this country stands for, asking our ally, Turkey, to exercise more carefully freedom of religion with respect to the Orthodox Church. Senator Starr, who's in Washington, D.C. right now, and I have put forth this, what amounts to an amendment to Senator Girard's resolution to simply ask Turkey to make some changes and to be more tolerant and more permissive in their handling of what is now a minority in Turkey, and that is the Orthodox Christians. And with that, we have somebody that's a lot more of an expert on this than I am here.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is George Sahoyas, 14021 Edenbury Court in Lake Oswego. I'm here this morning to testify in support of Senate Joint Resolution 16, Religious Freedom. Located in Istanbul, Turkey, the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate, known as Constantinople, is viewed as a mother church of many millions of people around the world. Patriarch Bartholomew is the 270th direct succession to the Apostle Andrew and leader of 300 million Orthodox Christians around the world. That's over a quarter of a billion Christians around the world. There's 2 million Orthodox Christians in the United States and several thousand here in Oregon. In the Orthodox faith, the Patriarch is viewed in a similar way as the Pope is in the Catholic faith, as we heard earlier. Pope Benedict recognizes the ecumenical status of His All-Holiness Patriarch Bartholomew, but the Turkish government does not. To date, 22 states have passed similar resolutions, resolutions of support for the ecumenical patriarchate in Turkey. In a historic address to the Turkish Parliament on April 6, just a few weeks ago, President Obama spoke in support of religious freedom for the patriarchate in Constantinople, Turkey. The Turkish government is threatening Orthodox religious freedom. Here are five core points regarding the freedom. The Turkish government imposes restrictions on the election of the ecumenical patriarch and the hierarchs who vote for him, requiring that they must be Turkish citizens. And in fact, the government arbitrarily can veto any candidate for the ecumenical position. So with the dwindling amount of hierarchs and Orthodox faithful in that country, it makes it nearly impossible to be able to possibly have a successor to the patriarchate voted by those individuals. Fact number two is the Turkish government does not recognize the ecumenical status of the patriarchate and patriarch. The Turkish authorities do not allow the use of the term ecumenical for religious activities whatsoever, despite the fact that it's been used since the 6th century and recognized throughout the world. Turkey regards the patriarch as an institution and the patriarch himself as a Christian leader just in the country of Turkey, not abroad for millions of individuals around the world. But keep in mind, the patriarchate has had a presence in Turkey since 325. Fact, the ecumenical patriarch has no legal identity or bona fide legal personality in Turkey. The lack of this identity leads to a major source of problems. The Turkish authorities do not allow the patriarchate to own property, not even churches or monasteries. The patriarch's house itself is not considered property of the patriarchate. It's considered property of the government. The inability to secure work permits for foreigners who come into the compound to work is very, very difficult. They have to leave the country every 3 months and get a new visitor's visa to come back into the country to work again. Fact, the ecumenical patriarchate is unable to train new clergy in Turkey in the theological school. It was forcibly closed by the Turkish government. In 1971, the theological school of Halki was forcibly closed. There's been many promises by the Turkish government to reopen this theological school, but there's been no progress up till now, though, because in that April 6th address by President Obama to the Turkish Parliament, he addressed this issue exact, and I quote, "Religious freedom and expression leads to a strong and vibrant civil society that only strengthens the safe, which will take steps and will likely reopening the Halki school will spend such an important signal to the Turkish and beyond." Fact, the Turkish government has confiscated thousands of properties from the Ecumenical Patriarchate. That includes, through different methods, that includes buildings and an orphanage, private homes, properties, apartment buildings, schools, and vacant land. What they basically do, the government does, is won't allow the Patriarchate to take any building permits out on the properties. So the properties fall into a very bad state of repair, and then they are condemned at some point. And a perfect example of this is an orphanage that's on an island off Turkey, where the Patriarchate has owned the title to that property since 1902. And again, they don't recognize that they didn't even own the property. Same thing happened. It was the largest wooden structure in Europe, a beautiful property on top of a hillside, serviced thousands of youth orphans. And same thing happened. The property fell into disrepair. No building permits were able to be taken out, and the building was condemned. Now, Turkey needs to do the right thing now. They're trying to get themselves into the European Union, and the European Union calls for reform, stability, democracy, rule of order, and human and justice rights. So, Chair Devlin and members of the committee, I ask that you join the 22 U.S. states that have already passed a resolution for religious freedom, and that you please encourage the Senate to pass Oregon Joint Resolution 16. And I thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think I failed to introduce myself properly for the record. I am Senator Rod Monroe, Senate District 24.
Okay. We didn't fail to recognize who you were, though. Okay. I will close the public hearing. I will open a work session on SGR 16. Do I have a motion to move the dash 2s?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the dash 2s into SGR 16.
There's a motion to move the dash 2s into SGR 16. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Is there a motion to pass SGR 16 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I would move SGR 16 to the floor with the due adopt recommendation.
Okay. It's been moved to move SGR 16 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Senator Monroe, will you carry?
I'd be happy to, and co-carrier Senator Starr, please.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We will wait for just a moment. I know that Senator Farioli needs to leave, and we're waiting on Senator Winters for a bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
What are we doing?
Waiting for Senator Winters.
Are we moving another bill?
Yeah.
Oh, smashing.
Oops. Wow, almost got you there.
I can... No, please. By all means, I don't want to stop government.
We'll reconvene the Senate Rules Committee for April 24th, 2009, and we will go for the time being to the bottom of the agenda, SB 577, with a committee administered public hearing. Well, it's actually just a work session. We already had a public hearing. I think we're all familiar with the bill, but I'll open a work session, and for the sake of just recalling, could the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 577 requires certification of appeals to Supreme Court for judgment of cases challenging constitutionality of government ethics provisions of Chapter 8, Oregon Laws 2007, requires expedited review of case by Supreme Court, declares an emergency and is effective upon passage. We do have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact statement on the measure, and it was originally heard on April 7th.
Okay. We are in work session. Is there a motion on SB 577 to send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, yes. I'd move Senate Bill 577 to the floor, due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senate Bill 577 has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing no objection, motion passes. Senator Metzger, will you carry?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We will now go on to a public hearing on SB 970, closing the public hearing on 577. Committee Administrator, will you give a brief overview of SB 970?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 970 removes requirement that proposals for purchase of real property from the state be accompanied by a certified check or bond in the amount not less than 10% of total amount of value proposal. We have a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact on the original measure.
Okay. Senator Winters. Welcome, Senator Winters. I hope you had a good Ways and Means Committee meeting.
Yes, I did, Chair Devlin. And if I can bring up with me Robin Harster from Denver.
That would be fine. And if you would identify yourself for the record.
For the record, I'm State Senator Jackie Winters, and I represent Senate District 10, which is Salem, Monmouth, Independence, Turner, and Oxville. And thank you, Mr. Chair Devlin and Senator Atkinson and Senator Metzger for hearing Senate Bill 970. Just a little background context, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 970 came to me from DAS when we were looking at how we were going to be able to sell property, better known as Mill Creek. And they raised the issue of, in this economic environment, how difficult it is in order to get the amount of dollars for down payment because, as you know, the fiscal crisis doesn't just rest with the public entity but with the private entity as well. And so based on that discussion with them, we actually said, well, maybe there are other agencies who also have a similar problem and a similar need. And so DAS then did a survey of the other agencies, the Oregon Department of Transportation, Corrections, and the larger agencies that have land holding. And I will stop here and let Ms. Harpster, if you have any questions, and add to that discussion. The other agencies did indicate that they too could benefit from the change in the amount of dollars that were required in statute and if it was lowered. So with that, Robin.
Sure. Good morning. For the record, Robin Harpster, I'm the Administrator of Facilities for DAS. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, we believe that this bill, as written, will provide flexibility in the ability to market land, state land. Right now, the statute, as written, requires a 10% deposit to begin to negotiate with the state on land transactions. The deposit doesn't create a security for the state when we are negotiating, so it doesn't create an earnest amount, but rather just a deposit to have a conversation with the state. And so in the case of Mill Creek, where we raised the issue, and it's obviously much broader than that for sister landowning agencies, we have found 515 acres that we're trying to market and sell. One parcel in particular is 146 acres in size. And if we, when we offer that out to bid, they're required to put a 10% deposit down to negotiate with us. And at 154,000 $5,000 an acre. That requires $2.2 million just to negotiate with us. This is not typical common business practice when we deal with real estate transactions. We want to create as much flexibility on the state side as possible to be able to effectively negotiate on surplus state land, and this will give us the opportunity to do so. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah. Any questions from the committee? Yes.
I think, for the record, you should describe the Mill Creek property rather than Mill Creek the water, in case someone's listening, or in case this hearing comes back to us. You should say that that's property, not the riverbed. That's a whole nother bill.
Sure. Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, be happy to. The Mill Creek Corporate Center is a 515-acre surplus property owned by the Department of Corrections that has been, by statute, required by DAS to facilitate the land sale. It is on Kubler and Almsville Highway across from DPSST.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Senator Winters, and thank you, Ms. I believe it's Harpster.
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you both.
And thank you for hearing Senate Bill 970.
Close public hearing on Senate Bill 970. Open a work session on Senate Bill 970.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 970 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Okay, it's been moved to move SB 970 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Senator Winters, will you carry?
I would be very happy.
Okay. Committee members, those of us that are left, we do not have a meeting scheduled Tuesday, largely because this is the closing day for bills getting out of their chamber of origination. We will be meeting next Friday, and it will be at 10:30, and we will be doing largely confirmation hearings. So with that, we're adjourned.
Do you know where Senator Starr is?